are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Well, how many of you have gone out there and you have located all of those wonderful gifts? You're completely ready for Christmas morning. Let me see your hands. The rest of you need to get busy real fast, don't you? You got to get after it here. We're running out of days, and so you got to get out there. I tell you what I've noticed about myself. When I know what somebody wants, it is way more fun to go shopping when I actually know what I'm looking for than going out there and wandering around those stores trying to figure out what in the world to buy somebody. I mean, I'm talking about... Man, every man in the room knows what I'm talking about. You know what we want. We go in the store on a mission. Hallelujah. You with me? We go straight to the department, get it off the shelf, straight out, pay, we're out the door in 10 minutes. Come on. Except when we have to wait in line. That takes longer. Not the ladies, normally. What do you need, hon? Well, I need some green beans. Okay, great. We're in the meat aisle, we're in the fruit aisle, we're in the, you know, I thought we were here for green beans. Yes, but, you know, come on. How about your ladies? Are you there? Come on. Got to get an amen here? No, but with Christmas shopping, hey, it's fun when you know what they want. Can I get an amen? It's awesome. So here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have genuinely given your life to Christ, God has made it abundantly clear what he wants. You don't have to try to figure it out. It's not a mystery. The Lord has made it so clear in the teaching of the Scriptures. And Jesus really boiled it down to simplicity, didn't he? Love God. Love people. I mean, God's made it extremely clear. And as I read this somewhere, and as I was reading the last few days and weeks, and I thought this was just a great statement. The guy made the comment, hey, if you've got the verse, you don't need the voice. In other words, if the Bible says it, I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to get in the mood for it. I don't have to have goosebumps to be able to do it. If the Bible says this is what God wants, I just need to do it and trust God. And that's called practical faith. Amen. Practical faith just believes and does it, trusting that God will provide the energy and the strength to be able to do it. Don't miss that phrase. That was an important one in this message today. As we come to the text, as we come to the concluding verses here of the book of James, we've been working our way through this great book, and Pastor James has been talking to us about practical faith and what real faith looks like. It's very practical. And he comes today, these last couple of verses, and he basically helps us to understand that we need to lay a hold of what God wants. Love God and love people. And particularly toward the people side, what God wants from us is to engage in expressing his love to people, demonstrating his power, and sharing the truth about Jesus so they can come to know the Lord. That combination. Because here's what the Scripture teaches us. Here's what the Scripture teaches us. It's on your outline there. It is not fate, it's faith. We don't believe in fate. We believe in faith. Would you say that with me? We don't believe in fate. We believe in faith. You see, you and I are literally the body of Jesus Christ on this planet. That's not an allegory. It's not just an illustration. As followers of Christ, the Spirit of Christ lives in us. Your body, my body, your voice, my voice, our hands, our feet, our abilities, we are the means by which God works his will on this planet. He wants to work through that. You and I are not on a Christian cruise ship enjoying the pleasure of life until we get to heaven. No, we're the crew that has been recruited for the battleship and the aircraft carriers that are out there taking the gospel and the power of God into the power of darkness and pushing back the powers of darkness in people's lives. We're fighting for the souls, minds, and bodies of people for now and eternity. You with me? We know what God wants. And what this is basically telling us is because we believe in faith, not fate, there's a big difference. You and I need to actively engage in really seeking God's intervention into the world. So let me say it differently. The key core truth here in today is simply this. There are some things that are God's will that will not happen unless you and I do what God asks us to do. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor, didn't we just pray? We just sang it. He's got a promise, it's gonna happen. Yes, but what we're talking about there is the ultimate plan of God, that Christ is going to come back to the planet. He is going to fulfill the ultimate promises that he made. But in between now and then, there are all kinds of things in your life, in my life, in our family's life, in our church's life, in the community's life, in the world's life, things that God wants to do that will not be done unless you and I engage in the activities, because it is faith, not fate. Fate says, Doris Day, don't you love Doris Day? Come on. Doris Day said it so well. Sing it with me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care how pretty she was, how nice. It's not the truth. That's a pagan idea. No, what the Bible teaches is that God is sovereign, people are responsible, and as we believe the God who is sovereign, he will intervene into our lives. He will intervene into circumstances. He shows up. He changes things. He makes things happen when we believe in God, not fate. Hallelujah. I'm about to get excited right there. Come on. There are things that want to be done that won't be done unless we do them. We tap into the truth of who the Lord is. We believe his word. We don't have to get goosebumps to share our faith in Christ with other people. The Bible tells us, share your faith with other people. We do it obediently even when we're scared to death. We don't wait for some sort of supernatural Zappo to do it. Didn't get an amen there, but that's okay. It's the truth. I'm on a roll this morning. Watch out now. Come on. I got to wrap up quick this morning. We're in trouble. There's an Assembly of God church located in Delran, New Jersey, because there were a group of people who listened to God, obeyed him, did what they needed to do to make this church a possibility. But it would not be a possibility had they not done that. God looked down through the tunnel of time and he saw the hundreds and thousands of people's lives that we touched, not just in this area, but around the world, because a group of people who he assembled together on the great aircraft carrier called Calvary Church were empowering and sending and doing the battle and believing God, and people's lives are changing around the world because you and I are praying and giving and serving and preaching and loving God. But none of that would have happened had there not been people who were willing to do what God had asked them to do. You follow me? I give you one more and we'll move quickly. It was the Lord's will. It was the will of God for the first generation of Israelites to conquer the promised land. But they didn't. Right? Why? They refused to believe God. They just wouldn't believe him. And so he let them stay out there for 40 years, enjoying the material blessing of manna and water provided and the meat that he sent on the Christian cruise ship, waiting to die because they didn't believe God to go conquer the land. Can I make that any more vivid there? I'm trying my best. Are you with me this morning? All right, so the point is not to make us feel guilty. No, the point is to spark in us faith that says, yeah, that's right, man, I need to engage here. And how do we engage? Well, James wraps up this great book on practical faith by telling us the two ways that practical faith really engages, seeks God's intervention into life. And the first, he says, is that practical faith prays diligently. Practical faith prays diligently. Just say that with me. Practical faith prays diligently. We see it in verse 13. He says in verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone among you happy? You got some in trouble. We got some or just everything's going great. Man, many blessings on their life. He says, listen, be careful. Those of you who are happy, what you need to do is sing songs of praise. You need to focus back on the Lord who gave you those things that are making you happy. Because if you're not careful, the happiness in your flesh will get you away from trusting the Lord. You're in trouble, you pray. You got great blessing and a happy time, man, make sure you focus on the Lord and worship, because your flesh and the devil's just looking for an opportunity to get you out there. Are you with me this morning? Prayer is the key thought here, communicating with the Lord. You're in trouble, pray. God intervenes. It's faith, not fate. He will show up if you pray. You're happy, sing, worship, praise God, giving credit. And then he says this, he says, and if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Again, the primary core issue of these verses is prayer. It's not about the elders. It's not about the oil. It's about prayer. And so what he's saying to us is simply that practical faith believes in God's intervention. It believes in faith, not fate. And so it diligently seeks the mind and the heart and the will of God. Practical faith looks for the will of God and the power of God to show up in every circumstance of life. Good, bad, medium, it doesn't make any difference. Practical faith is diligently seeking the will and the power of God, His intervention into their life all the time. And depending on Him. And so he says there in verse 16, he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Who is this righteous person? Is it the one who gave the most in the offering today? No? Is it the person who lived the holiest life this week? No. Is it the oldest one among us? Is it, you get the point, right? Well, who is this righteous person? Well, the Bible says that all of our righteousness is like what? Dirty diapers in the sight of God. That was a great illustration. Wasn't that you that talked about dirty diapers? Dirty diaper. Have you changed a poopy diaper? Come on. It stinks. Well, then who is the righteous person that can pray a powerful and effective prayer? It is the person who is dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. It is the blood of Jesus that makes me able to talk to my Heavenly Father directly. I can go directly to the Father God of the universe. I can talk to God as my Father. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I am His child. I don't have to go through somebody else. I don't have to pray to St. Anthony, St. Mary, St. Ron. John, St. Beth. I don't have to pray to St. Dan. I don't have to pray to St. Paul. Hallelujah. I can go directly to my Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And I can cry out to my Father and pray a powerful, effective prayer because I'm righteous in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Which cop has more authority to shoot a gun at you? The one who just graduated from cop school, whatever they call it. But now he's 19 years old, just got his badge and his gun. He's out, been out on a week. Or the guy who's getting ready to retire. And he's all these years. Which one of them has more authority to pull their gun and shoot you down? Which one? Both of them? Why? Because it's not their tenure. It's not their age. It's not their effort. It's not their what they've done through the years. It's the authority that has been given them by the power of the government. The young guy can shoot you just like the old. He has the power and authority to pull the trigger because he's been given the authority to do so. Are you listening to me this morning? Some of you think that somebody else's prayer has more powerful than yours because of who they are. Some of you think that somehow my prayers are more powerful than yours. I've got news for you. The Bible says that nobody can go into Father God's presence except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I go through the blood of Christ, I've got confidence that my Father's going to hear what I'm saying, whether I'm young or old, new or saved. For boy, I've just been in the way a long time. How many of you know I'm talking about? It's the righteousness of Christ that makes us right. We have the ability to pray a powerful, effective prayer. In fact, in this text in verse 17, he uses Elijah as an example. He says, verse 17, look at what he says. He says, Elijah was human just like we are, and yet he prayed a prayer of faith. Look at it. Verse 17, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced grass. What is the point? What is James saying? He's telling us, think about Elijah. Elijah, yes, God used him greatly, but think about him. He was subject to doubt. He got depressed. He got a poor me complex, ran out in the desert, and just wanted to die. Pity party. Are you with me this morning? You see, the power was in what God wanted to do, what God was doing, the will of God as he worked in the life of Elijah. The power is not in the words you and I use. The power is not in the phrases. The power is not in us trying to work up faith. The power is not in how we say it. The power is learning to tune in to the presence of God, listen to the Spirit, depend on the Spirit, pray with the help of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. We trust in him alone. And let Father God hear our prayers. When Kelly was younger and at home, she didn't go to Joe Beretta and ask Joe Beretta to talk to me on her behalf. She didn't go to Ron Crognelli and say, hey, Brother Ron, would you go talk to my dad and ask him if I could borrow the car Friday night? You know, he might listen to you. No. You know why? Because, listen to me, because it was based on relationship, not magic. It's not magic. We have a relationship with God as Father. We're his children. He loves us. His heart is toward us. You say, yeah, but Pastor, sometimes, you know, I mess up. Look at the person next to you and say, so do you. Go ahead, Jonathan, so do you. And what happens when we mess up? We mess up, you know, we grouch out or we yell at somebody or, you know, whatever. And what happens? Our heart condemns us. We try to turn to the Lord to prayer and the devil condemns us and our heart condemns us. So what do? We confess our sins, knowing that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we pray with confidence. Because again, it's not based. We have a relationship with God as Father. How? Through the blood of Jesus. Listen, Jesus has made it possible for us to pray to God as Father with confidence because of His authority, His righteousness given to us. We are the children of God. So how does a Christian pray? A Christian prays to the Father through the Son, through His righteousness, trusting in Him. And how? By the Holy Spirit. That is, we pray to our Heavenly Father, trusting in the blood of Jesus to make us acceptable, and we pray depending on the Holy Spirit to help us. In verse 15, he said, in that verse he says there, he says that this prayer, he says, as you call for the elders of the church, he says, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. In the original language, it actually reads like this. It says, and the prayer of the faith will make the sick person well. What's the difference? What James is pointing out to us is that it is the Holy Spirit who gives the gift of faith to believe as we go. We're not trying to work faith up. We're not trying to quote every verse we can think of so we can make it happen. That's magic. That's not what the Bible teaches. We have relationship with God. We are His body. We are the tools through which Jesus works. We tune into the presence of the Holy Spirit, depending on God, saying, Lord, we don't know, but Lord, we're looking to You. Quicken in us the faith. Quicken, show us how to pray. Let us remember the word, absolutely, but Lord, we come in humility to pray the prayer of the faith that You're going to give us, the assurance You're going to put in our hearts to heal and to minister and to bless Your people. Are you with me this morning? And no matter whether we've known the Lord forever or for a very short period of time, trusting in the blood of Jesus, we can go to God as our Heavenly Father because of His righteousness, depending on the Holy Spirit, and pray a powerful, effective prayer. We can pray prayers that make things happen because of who Jesus is and what He's done in our life. It says in that text, literally, if you were to do the power, where it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, in the text it actually reads literally like this. In the original, it is the energized prayer of a righteous person. The energized prayer. In other words, the Holy Spirit is energizing that prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 puts it like this. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts, He knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Have you ever had those times in your life when you're trying to pray, you don't even know exactly what it is you ought to be praying for? Can I get an amen? What this text is telling us, you and I go to our Father who knows our hearts. He knows the situation. He knows what He wants to do. Our job is not to try to necessarily figure it out. Our job is to go before the Lord, cry out to Him with all of our heart, pray diligently, fervently, passionately. We look to the Lord, depending on the Holy Spirit to help us, knowing that as we're praying, sometimes the Spirit is actually praying through us. As we're praying, He's praying, and we're partnering with Him, and the Lord hears and answers prayer because the Spirit of the living God lives in you and me, and He even prays through groans when we're going, oh God, God, Lord God. I heard news of something last week ago, and all I could do was just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what? The Holy Spirit was praying in that moment. Are you with me? What am I saying? I'm saying you can pray the prayer of faith, because the faith is not of you. It is the gift of God. You can pray prayers that make a difference if you will pray. But some things won't happen. Some things that are absolutely the will of God will not happen if you don't pray. because you're the body of Christ. It is faith, not fate. Say it with me again. It's faith, not fate. Let's say it one more time. It's faith, not fate. We believe, we pray, we seek God, we worship God, we wait on God, we listen to the Spirit to see what He's saying to us, and we express those things. You with me? Now let me real quick talk about these verses where it says, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray for them. You've gotten the main point here. Let's talk about this idea of sickness for one second. When it comes to sickness, we need to know three quick things. We need to know the cause of sickness. The cause of sickness is sin. I'm not talking about your sin necessarily. We all know there was a guy who was brought to Jesus, and the disciples assumed that he had sinned because he was blind, right? Blind guy. And so they say, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? And Jesus said, neither. Nobody sinned in this case. For the guy who was at the well, Jesus walked up to him and said, would you like to get well? And if I was a guy paralyzed, laying at the well for years and years and years, and Jesus walked up to me and said, do you want to get well? I think I would have said, yes! That's not what he said. Well, I don't have anybody to put me in. Really? Well, Jesus heals him anyway, because he's sovereign. And then later on, Jesus found him and he said to him, stop sinning or something worse could happen to you. So in that case, it was personal sin. Other times, it's not personal sin. It's just there's sin in the world. And because there's sin, there are consequences of sin. There's disease and cancer and viruses and the flu and all this stuff is in the world, not because necessarily I'm sinning or you're sinning. Sometimes we get sick because of the consequences. We live in a fallen, broken world that's got disease in it. Are you with me? Sometimes the Lord may use sickness to try to correct us or teach us a lesson. The Bible's clear on that. And then sometimes it just is what it is. So the cause of sickness is sin. The cure for sickness is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world to be beaten for you. Isaiah said it 700 years before Jesus was born. He said, he was bruised for our sin. He carried our sorrows. He was beaten so that we could be healed. He carried our infirmities. Jesus, by his stripes, by his beating, we are healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. You and I have the health and the life of eternal life because Christ suffered for us. Jesus came to erase the consequences of sin as well as sin itself. He came to remove the power of sin over you and me. He came to make us holy and take us to heaven. And he came to also intervene, because it's faith, not fate. He came to intervene into some things in your life and mine to show the power and the reality of who he is right now in right now circumstances. The kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God is going to come when Jesus returns. But hallelujah, the kingdom of God is coming right now as you and I pray and believe and lay hands and worship and the Holy Spirit moves. Hallelujah. He begins to show the kingdom comes over here and does something right here, right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. I don't know about you. Well, watch out now. Some of you Presbyterians are going to get stirred up. Hallelujah. And actually, I like Presbyterians. I could go there pretty quick, so. Let me calm down. You never want to do that. The cause of sickness, the cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to make us whole. Somebody say, thank God. And the channel of healing, the Bible says, is the church. You and me. We're the channel through which God heals. Sometimes he uses medical professionals. But God always, not always, God almost always works through human instruments of some kind. He's delegated earth to us. If the will of God is beginning to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's because we believe and pray and look to the Lord and let Him channel His will through us. And so as the church is out there trying to share its faith with non-Christians and it runs onto a non-Christian who is sick, the Christian can say, wow, could I pray for you? Sure, I guess. And so we pray, trusting in the name of Jesus, depending on the Holy Spirit, trying to tune in, speaking what we believe God is saying to us. And you say, but what if it doesn't work? What if they're not healed? Listen to me. God can take care of His reputation. You don't have to worry about it whatsoever. And on top of that, that person is going to be grateful to you. They're going to know that somebody actually loves them and that somebody's heart was for them and that you were praying. That's going to be a big deal. What I'm saying is, listen to me, in case you missed it, you can pray for people in your workplace. You can pray for neighbors. You can pray. You don't have to ask us to do it all for you. We're trying to build big people here, not big buildings. Big people who believe God, big people who go out there, big people who are ministering Christ so that we have multiple buildings, big, small, intermediate. It's not about the building or a person. It's about the body of Christ energized by the Spirit of God, getting out there and believing God and pushing back the power of darkness and making a difference in this world. Hallelujah. I could preach on this. I better stop, but boy, I could preach it. Come on, are you with me this morning? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, said Jesus. You and I are so afraid. We're so timid. Ask God for courage and step up to the plate and ask the Lord to touch somebody and heal them. If He doesn't do it, don't worry about it. God will make up for it. So it's in evangelism and it's in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in worship. As the church comes together to worship, as we worship the Lord, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will distribute gifts of healings, plural, as He works among us. And then finally, in this text, call for the elders of the church. The idea is that we call, confessing our sin. If there is sin, we confess our sins. We come, we confess to the Lord. We come asking for prayer and the prayer of faith, looking to the Lord, to the Spirit. There's a place for confession to one another. We confess our sin to the Lord, but then if we've sinned against someone else, it's appropriate for us to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I was wrong. That's a great, if you have a, you know what? Husbands, why don't you try that at home? You know what, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have treated you like that. That was wrong. Hello? I lost some of you there somewhere. You went right off the deep. Humble yourself. If we sin against one another, we ask for forgiveness one another. We sin against the church. We call for the elders. We call to represent, and we confess sin, and we ask for forgiveness. We humble ourselves before the Lord so that He can lift us up. As we pray, confessing our sin, building relationship with one another, getting close to one another, we pray for each other, and the Lord ministers His healing health into the body of Christ. So today, if you are sick, here's what you need to do. Now, let me tell you what not to do. Don't send me a message on Facebook. Don't message me on Facebook. I don't look at it that often. I'm looking at it less and less. You want to communicate with me? Send me a text. Send me an email. Call the church office. It's called a telephone. You actually speak into it. It records a person actually answers and says, how can I help you? It's a wonderful thing. You call for, and notice who takes the initiative in times of sickness and need? Does the pastor call? Who calls? The sick calls. Now, that'll blow some of you away right there. The sick person calls and says, I need prayer. Communicate with us. Let us know what's going on. And listen, just because you tell my wife, or just because you tell Ron, or just because you tell one of the other pastors, may or may not mean I know. Sometimes we forget to tell each other. You want to communicate with someone? Communicate directly with that person. Let us know so that we can pray. I know I kind of went off on a tangent there, but let me wrap up real quick. All right. So the main deal here is the prayer of faith is not us working up faith. The prayer of faith is when we're looking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickens faith in us. We pray with assurance for whatever the need is. And so whether the Lord gives us faith and we believe for healing and healing occurs, or whether it's the faith that believes for the grace needed, or whether it's God maybe taking that person to heaven. We don't like that very much, but maybe it's that time. But we pray in faith, looking to the Lord, believing Him. And then one more pursuit here, I'll say it quickly and quit. We pray diligently, and number two, practical faith speaks intentionally. Remember, it's faith, not fate. It's faith, not fate. Fate says whatever will be. It's all predetermined. You can't change it. Faith says, no. We pray and believe God. God shows up. God changes things. So, practical faith not only prays diligently, it speaks intentionally. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth. Literally, if one among you should wander from the truth. What is this wander from the truth? There are two ways to do that. We wander from the truth in terms of doctrine. We can stop believing what the Scripture teaches. We can throw in something that's not exactly right, like fate instead of real faith. And so we can wander doctrinally, and then that starts to affect how we live. Or we could wander morally. We could wander from the faith, living an unbiblical, unholy lifestyle. He says, if one among you wanders, look at what he says, someone should bring them back. Notice he didn't say the pastor should bring them back. He said someone. He didn't say the deacon should. He didn't say the elders should. He said you ought to be looking out for each other, praying for one another, watching for the wanderer, and speak intentionally to bring them back. And so he says, remember this, that whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death. Will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Who is this wanderer? It could be a person among us who actually has never been saved. They come to church, but they really never trusted Christ. It could be someone who professes faith in Christ, comes to church, but hasn't really trusted Christ. They just profess it. They're kind of religious in their activities, but don't really know the Lord. It could be a genuine believer who's gotten entangled in sin, the lying deceit of the enemy, and they have gone off in their life, in their doctrine. And the Lord says we're to speak intentionally to one another with the intention, the love of God, to speak truth, to pull people back to what's right. We don't just slap each other on the back and joke around about it. We don't just flatter each other. Our goal is not to make people think well of us. Our goal is not to make everybody feel good. Our goal is to speak the truth in love so that people will turn to the Lord in faith. Bigger people, not bigger buildings. Faith, not fate. And it's serious because death is always the consequence of sin. Listen to me. Death is always the consequence of unrepented of sin. Always. You say, what do you mean? Well, in some cases, it's physical death. The Bible's pretty clear that there are times when even genuine believers died physically, prematurely, because they would not repent. Sorry, but that's what the Bible teaches. I don't like it very much, but that's what it says. God uses it as a discipline to purify the church because he's concerned for the whole church. The Bible teaches that it could be eternal death. That a person certainly who hasn't met the Lord, or a person who just professes faith but doesn't really, is not really trusting the Lord, if we don't speak intentionally to them, we may be being good friends and laughing and telling jokes and putting our arm around them and just making them feel all fluffy and boy, just, you know, just ooh. But they will go into eternity without Christ. They'll be lost for eternity. We need to speak intentionally. Or here's what I know. Sin always leads into some kind of death if it's not repented of. And I'll tell this story and quit this morning. I had a friend back several years ago, young man, graduated from our Bible school over in Phoenixville, had so much potential. Everybody in the district, our state, everybody in our fellowship was very excited about this young man, the work he was going to do, the church he was starting. We just saw so much potential and what God could do through this guy. Started that church, began the work of the ministry, things going good, and then a prophet came along. A prophet. And the prophet started talking to him about his ideas about the end times and what was going to happen. Mixed biblical, Old Testament biblical verses with other concepts, and convinced this guy to quit the church and sell all his stuff and move to the middle of Pennsylvania somewhere in a commune because the prophet was saying the end was coming. This is what they were supposed to do. The day they were packing their house up to move, I went over to his home and I tried my best to reason with him. I said, listen, so-and-so, this is not what the scripture teaches. Think, brother, think. He's taking that out of context there. He's manipulating this. This idea doesn't fit with this. If I've got the verse, I don't need the voice. Listen, brother, please, don't do this. No, you're just not hearing the voice of the Lord. Long story short, lost his family. The prophet ended up being a shyster. Lots of inappropriate things going on. You can read between the lines. Lost his profession. Ended up working a secular employment job, I guess to this day, as far as I know. The one who had so much potential for the kingdom of God in a place of ministry, leadership that was strategic, that God had gifted him for, died professionally, spiritually, and in relationships. Still alive physically today, repented, turned to the Lord, but so much death and destruction. Why? Because he wandered from the truth. Sin always leads to death. Death of marriages, death of finances. Are you with me? So our job, your job, my job, is to speak intentionally. Not just to make people feel good, but to love them for Christ, speak the truth in love to each other, challenge each other, build bigger people, not bigger buildings, and engulf this area with the work of Christ. Are you with me this morning? Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.